Pastor. I appreciate that. Amen. Well, it's good to be in church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I got to first of all say I so much thank you, and I appreciate each and every one of you, just because the spirit in this particular church is just absolutely amazing. Each and every one of you step up to the plate to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of, and I'll go into a little bit more detail later. But I personally want to say thank you for your prayers and your support through texts, through cards, through emails, through whatever that might be. Because without prayer, there's not much can be done. And I really appreciate that. And I'm very thankful for you because prayers do get answered. And I'm healing well. Things are progressing good. So I'm very thankful for that. My plan is to get everything that's happened the beginning of 2024 out of the way. And we'll just kind of get back to normal, amen? But anyways, I do want to say thank you for all your prayers, your support, for checking in with me even today and see how things are going. I do appreciate Brother John's comment. I'm improving, but not here. Is that what you said, brother? Is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, man, amen. No, it's good to have fun in church. It's good to just kind of, you know, every once in a while do a little jab with the brother because, you know what, we love each other. What do brothers and sisters do?
Yeah.
They fight, but at the end of the day, there's the love, right? You love your brother and your sister, but there's sometimes, you know, it's kind of fun to put a little jab in there. It's good. It's good. It's good to laugh in church. It's good to have fun in church. We've got enough negativity. We've got enough problems. We've got enough issues out in this world that when we come together, let's just have a little fun. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Haggai. Now, most of you are like, you're probably doing this. You're like, looking at the neighbor here. Where's Haggai? You're like, where did I go? Okay, so if you find Matthew, just go a couple books to the left, right? You'll see Zechariah, you'll see Malachi and Zechariah, and then you'll be in the book of Haggai. Now, there's a lot of different topics from this particular book, but what I want to share with you this morning is just one or three simple words. Three simple words. If you don't take anything out of this morning, I want you to consider these three words. Consider your way. Consider your way. So what we'll look is Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. So to give you a little bit of background in regards to this prophet in this particular book, this is the second smallest book in the Old Testament. You have Obadiah, who would come first. This particular passage of scripture is only two chapters and consists of 38 verses. Haggai, you will hear a little bit more or learn a little bit more from him in this particular story. You'll hear more about him in Ezra, particularly in chapters 5 and 6. But this is where we're going to go. So what had happened during this time, you had the Babylonian Empire under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. This was happening between, I think, 586, 587 B.C., and they completely just took over the Jews and Israel, right? And their plan, they demolished the temple, right? Solomon built, they demolished it, right? And he was going to rule the world, you know? But then, you look at about 70 years later, you have the prophet Haggai. It was like 520 B.C. From this point now, the rule was under Persia. The Persian, you know, I think it was either King Cyrus or King Darius, one of the two. Had to do more study on that. But again, the new kingdom or the new rule was under Persia. So they allowed them, the Israelites, to go back into Jerusalem and to just build the temple again, right? So that's a little bit of the backstory, but this is where I'm going to go. I'm going to tell you this. The Israelites turned from focusing on building the temple and focusing on what they wanted to do, focusing on their own homes, focusing on what they wanted to do in their life. They weren't really considering the ways of what the Lord wanted. They considered on what they wanted to do. And we'll look at that in verse 4. And we're going to kind of go a little bit more in detail on how that pertains to us today. But we'll read that passage of Scripture and we'll start in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jostek, the high priest, saying, Thus speaking the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, This time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, this was another verse we'll be focusing on as well. It is time for you, all you dwell in your ceiling houses, that this house, the temple, lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, ye have bring in little, ye eat, but ye have not enough. You drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Verse 7. Then saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 8. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And who are we supposed to be glorifying? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, I thank you so much for this particular passage of Scripture. It is not mentioned much, but Lord, the topic of considering your ways is something that was tugging on my heart. I personally, myself, are receiving much from this as well. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in me, that my words and my thoughts will be clear. I pray for the people here that if anybody today does not know you, today can be the day of salvation. And Lord, I pray that those that are listening would at least get nuggets from this, that we can learn from it to go out into this world and serve you even more than we have now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I do appreciate Pastor for giving me the opportunity to preach this morning. I don't know if most of you know, but I think the Lord is working in my heart to maybe serve God full time. I don't know yet. I'm just kind of putting it out there. I've currently done almost 20 years with what I'm currently doing, and I kind of feel the Lord maybe tugging my heart to maybe serve full time. I don't know what that looks like, but I've been here for 8 years, and I am enjoying every opportunity that I can to assist pastor and help wherever I can, because it's so nice to be in a church that it's easy to work with. It's great. I love each and every one of you. Okay. So I'm getting sidetracked here. But anyways, okay, number one, okay? Write this down if you're taking notes. Christians, consider your way. So Christians, you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you this morning to consider your way. Yeah. Do you have the time to serve the Lord? Think about that, really. We all have time. Yeah. I've got time to do X. I got time to do Y. I got time to go ride my bike. I got time to do some exercise. I got time to sit on the couch. We got to have, you know, both, you know. I got time to do whatever. But do you have time to consider to work and serve for the Lord? Turn in your Bibles to Luke. Again, we're going to turn to quite a bit of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles this morning, again, it's not my words. It's what the Lord says in His Word is what we need to go off on, right? Yes, amen. So look at Luke chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What is our goal this morning or for the rest of our lives is to serve him. It might get quiet here in a minute, but we all have priorities, don't we? Are your priorities set correctly? What's happening tonight? Amen. There we go. That's the right answer, Patrick. I love it. I'm going to stop on some feet this morning, but I'm saying the Super Bowl's happening tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a big fan of sports. I love sports. I love basketball. I love football. I love soccer. Baseball. I'll go into that in a minute. But anyways, I'm a big sports fan. But you know what? Are your priorities right? Are you going to be here tonight? Now, I understand. I completely understand. People work. People have trouble at night driving. I get it, okay? I get it. But at the end of the day, what is most important? It's God. It's what He has done for us. He has given us so much. He has not only given us salvation and to live eternity with Him, He has blessed us beyond measure. But you know what? I'm fine. You know, I think I'm going to sit back, watch a little Super Bowl tonight, And then what Brother Jordan will bring, maybe I'll watch the recording later. Don't forsake the assembly of the brother. Be here tonight. But again, at the same time, I understand. It's hard. It's difficult. Okay? But be here tonight because that's what the Lord wants. Do like what Pastor does. Sometimes I'll give him a tidbit of information about a game. He's like, stop. I'm recording it. Don't tell me. Do that. Right? But be in church. It did get quiet. Do you make God a priority in your life? What blessings are we withholding because we are neglecting what God has for us in our lives? Think about that for a second. If I were to come tonight, I definitely would get a blessing from God's word and hearing what he has to say for me. And then in turn, that blessing that I get tonight might help me throughout the rest of this week. A lot of us this week have to go to work. We got to get into the world. We got to do our thing. We got to make money to support our families and do all this other stuff. Whatever happens tonight might help you for the rest of the week. You never know. When we focus on our personal comforts to the exclusion of God, something's wrong. I'm just gonna throw it out there. I mean, it is. We've got to understand that our priorities have to be set because at the end of the day, us as Christians have work to do. He has given us so much, and he's given us the opportunity to serve him. Well, let's serve him. It's a lifelong endeavor. We know this, right? Who in this room was saved at an early age? I was 7 years old. You know, 7, 8, 9, 10, a lot of us, right? Okay, it's a lifelong endeavor. We got to understand that, yes, it's hard and difficult. I get it. It is. It's difficult. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through so much. Trust me, I know. I've been there. This beginning of the year, I mean, who would have thought I would have been in the hospital Christmas 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th? You know, Brother John Ackerman, he didn't want to be in the hospital. You know, but again, whatever God puts in our lives, it's there for a reason, isn't it? So whatever you go through in your life, whatever difficulty you're going through in your life, whatever issue is happening right now, I think of our sister Candy, the loss of Roxanne. You know, that's her dear sister. You guys were close. You can see that in the pictures. You know, it's a difficult time in our life. And I'll get into more details here in a minute, but I love this church and how we rally together. We're there for each other in the good times and the bad. But again, it's a lifelong endeavor for us to serve the Lord and do what he wants us to do. Of course, it starts with reading our Bibles and being in prayer, praying for one another. But I like this. God doesn't honor stop and go Christianity. Now, what do you mean by that, stop and go? Meaning, for me, for example, let's just take my example, for example. In the hospital on Sunday, or during Christmas, well, I can't believe this is happening to me. I think I'm just going to let everything else go to a side. I'm not going to worry about church. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to be praying. It's not good. Okay. No. Constantly be. It's a lifelong endeavor. It's difficult and it's hard. Just get in there, get your boots on, get to work. And no matter what happens in our lives, just remember when things are getting hard and difficult, what are two things you can still do? You can read God's word and you can still pray. Right. Now, let's say I lost my vision. I can't see anymore. It's difficult to read my Bible. Well, guess what? This day and age, you can actually listen to your Bible, right? Good old King James Bible, you get there and listening to it. Who is it? Scorby? Alexander Scorby. If you haven't heard him before, read the Bible. Wow. I mean, he reads it every period, every exclamation point, English teachers would love him. But he really reads it, and he brings you into the story, right? And so if you have not heard him read the Bible, you definitely can, of course, now online, you can pull it pretty easy. But again, do what you need to do. God does not honor stop-and-go Christianity. He doesn't. He expects us to be faithful. That's the end goal, right? He expects us to be faithful. So turn in your Bibles to Galatians. We'll look at chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2. And the reason why I want you to go to your Bibles and turn to these scriptures, because I want you to see it for what God says it in His Word, right? God's Word would not return void. It is correct. It's never changing. And He's always going to be 100% on the ball, right? Every time. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you're not saved this morning, I urge you, I beg you that today can be the day of salvation, because you know what? He loves you. He gave Himself for you. I am so willing, and I'll stay as long as I have to be here to share the gospel with anybody that wants to know. And I know there's a lot of men, there's a lot of ladies in here that will do the exact same thing, because our ultimate goal of Cornerstone Baptist Church is to go into our communities, our areas, and see souls saved. Side note, I was researching a little bit, and most of you know this, and you've seen it before, but if one soul gets saved, you save one soul, help one soul come to the Lord Jesus Christ, personal Savior, that's two. If you multiply that and multiply that over 20 years, I think it ends up being over 1 million people. And you know there's enough people around here, we can get them all saved. We can fill this place up. Let me tell you, we had 204 people. I asked Don to confirm that. We had 204 people during the memorial, which is an absolutely also amazing endeavor from Roxanne's point of view. So many people touched their lives from her testimony. Amen. But I was thinking, too, a lot of the security guys, we were talking, and they were coming to me and says, wouldn't this be nice to have this every Sunday morning? And I said, oh, you know it, brother. I love that. And I think it was Brother Bill. Bill was like, wouldn't this be cool to see this on Wednesday night? Yes, sir, it would be awesome. And what's awesome is we still had, I think, two empty rows up here that we could have been filling up, right? So praise the Lord. And Tony's laughing in the back. He's like, yeah, we were talking about that. Amen. But no, it was good. It was, and the singing was amazing. I mean, Friday was, Miss Candy, that was awesome. So that was awesome. Keep plowing. Seek Him because He is what? He is good. He is so good to us. Turn to Psalms. And you've heard me, again, I think I used this passage of Scripture not too long ago when I preached, I think on Sunday night or Sunday morning, I can't remember. But this is such a great passage of Scripture. I used this also when we taught with David and Goliath. But I'm going to read Psalms 100. I'm going to read all five verses and paying attention to, of course, verse number 5. It says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and unto His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Key verse. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. All generations, folks. Till God comes back, all generations, His truth will endure forever. But so awesome to know that our God is good. In the difficult times, in the hard times, He's faithful, He's good. Even in the good times, let's not forget that too. Let's not forget when things are going good, the paycheck looks good, health looks good, I got a nice new car I'm driving. Until you hit a deer, brother, I'm sorry, right? But anyways, hey, the Lord is good, right? Until, you know, the twins and they have a little accident in the car trying to get to church, you know, I mean, it happens. But the Lord is good. Understand that. The Lord is good.
That's right.
You just don't know what I'm going through in my life. It's so difficult. Again, trust me, I know. But the Lord is good. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So number one, Christian, consider your ways. Number two, consider the ways of our church. What do you mean by that? Consider your ways of our church. Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll look at verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. And my first point in regards to this second point of consider the ways of our church is through attendance. And I'll get into a little bit more in depth there. But Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Guys, this is not going to get any easier. It's only going to get worse, and it needs to get worse before the Lord's return, right? We know that. But let's not forsake the assembly of one another. Be here when you can. Be here Sunday morning. Be here Sunday night. Be here on Wednesday. I am so excited. I think Patrick came in a little late, just getting out of work on Wednesday. And I don't know, we're lately having to, Ginger, praying for you. How are you doing? You can see me. Amen. Okay. I know she had cataract surgery. So perfect example. She's here. Amen. Okay. Where was I going? Okay, sorry, attendance, right? Wednesday. I mean, I don't know how you are encouraged by this, but I am. I love seeing how Wednesday we're already taking up every single chair. We're having to bring more chairs. I think I told maybe it was Brother Tony, I don't know who it was over there, but I was saying, hey, well, let's get some more chairs ready because we're going to probably need them because we're going to probably fill them up. Pastor, I'm telling you what, I know we do Sunday school this way, but now with our doors, Ezra, thank you, with the doors opening that way, we're going to have to go this way now. We're going to have to fill the whole thing up. Amen. But, yeah, don't forsake the assembly of one another. I just love it. My wife, I mean, how many kids did you have last week? You had almost every single chair was taken. I mean, that hasn't happened in a long time. And that is because of families that we're getting that have little children that are coming to our church. It's awesome. Brother Stan and his class, I mean, the new married couples are the new home builders, right? I mean, man, that thing is filling up. Amazing. I mean, the adult Sunday school class is there, and you have the teens over there, and I mean, it's good. Don't forsake the assembly. But understand this, too. God is the one who grows the church, right? We need to help and assist and be there and do our part. But at the end of the day, it is God who actually grows the church. Letter B here under the second point is personalities and unity. Ooh, personalities. Do we all have the same personality in our church? Nope, right? There's different personalities, right? There's different things that maybe, hey, yeah, Elijah, I don't like where he sits. I wish he would sit somewhere else, you know? Just different things. Yeah, I'm just being funny. Like Pastor, for example. I like sports, but I'm not a big baseball fan at all. And then, you know, Pastor will bring up, you know, things, you know, as he's speaking about baseball. And I'm like, here we go, Pastor, on baseball again. You know, I don't want anything to do about baseball, but he's bringing it up. And I'm like, well, whatever. Well, that's a little, it's being funny, but it's a personality thing, right? Why can't he talk about more football? Or why can't he talk about more, maybe soccer? Yeah, see? Yeah, he's like, nope. But that's a personality thing, right? It's just something that we just don't disagree in, or we not really, for the lack of better terms, jive together on, right? But we are together in unity. Now, we'll tell you this. If Taco Bell was opening or having free tacos, Pastor and I are right there. Anyways, but I will never forget this, Pastor, and I'll kind of share with the church. When I got diagnosed with MS in 2018, I had a pastor and Ms. Garcia. They swung by the house after my diagnosis and getting through my first rounds of steroids. Pastor came over by the house with three things: a Taco Bell gift card, a Taco Bell hat, and an actual shirt. I was like, all I had to do is step into any Taco Bell, pretend I know what I'm doing, and have all the tacos I wanted. That's awesome. But no, we kind of go back and forth on that. But that's something we both enjoy, right? But there's a personality conflict when it comes to sports. Now, again, that's very superficial. But I'm saying there is personality conflicts, and there's things that. But guess what? At the end of the day, we are here to do one thing, and that is to grow this church and help the Lord grow it. But to be there for each other in the good times and the bad, even though we might not get along sometimes, but that's okay because we are here and we're unified under the grace of God and His mercy, right? Because He is good. I love this next one. Serve and encourage each other. Just get plugged in. 2024 is here. It's going to be quickly going by us. But guess what? We get to serve and encourage one another. I'm telling you what, what we're doing right now is just amazing. Like Pastor said, every Sunday night, these chairs are up like this. I got dear brother Wayne here coming up with a good idea with the rollers. We put the chairs on the rollers. The chairs are going in the back. We're getting that done. We got Sunday school. We got services. We've got the memorial service for Miss Roxanne. Everybody pitched in. We got it done. We got traffic done. We've got different things. The men in the safety and security team are helping out. You've got the Sunday school teachers that are helping out. You've got different things. You have, of course, I had, I know Miss Ginger and babe, who else gave us lunch? Was that Laura? Yes, Laura. Gave us lunch when I was out getting back from the hospital for my surgery. I mean, man, this church steps up, and I'm so thankful for that. And we want to continue that, right? I never have felt just some great unity in this particular church because everybody's here to help each other out. And that is because of God's grace and mercy and what He has done for us, that He allows us to continue to serve Him. That's great. That puts a smile on my face. But continue to serve and to also encourage, because we got to get plugged in and get to work. Now, I don't see, is Hayden in here or is she in the nursery? She's in the nursery. I don't know about you, but man, she's plugged in. She's coming. She's got a little kid, little baby, cute little big old ball baby. And where's Cooper? He's out in Alaska on a boat crabbing. But she's here. I pray that this week that we pray that Cooper gets home and he gets a job that he can be around his family. Man, we got an opportunity to turn this community upside down, don't we? Yes, we do. Our ultimate duty, what is our ultimate duty? To see souls saved. To do what then? Is to baptize them and also to disciple them. The power of multiplication when it comes to getting souls saved, getting them baptized in the church, and then that person does the same thing, and then that person does the same thing. We will need to then what? We're going to have to build that gym right behind me. Amen for that. Again, like I said, we had 204 people during the memorial service. That was absolutely amazing. And I just loved how everybody just came together. And ladies, with the spread, with the food, man, great. See, that's another thing. I can keep going. I could be here for hours and telling you how thankful I am for how everybody does their thing. They have their avenue, they have their lane, and they serve. And then the ladies who do all that, I can't thank you enough. I think I'd probably said 100 million times thankful for when you guys helped me with Morgan and Chris's wedding and how that whole thing came out. That was just amazing. But again, I love it. Thank you so much. We have the privilege, don't we? We have the privilege. I guess we do. To serve God. Yes, we do. We have the privilege and the responsibility to reach souls for Christ, don't we? We sure do. Turn in your Bibles. This is a side note, but this is great. 1 Corinthians. Let me get there. 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 27. That there should be no chisms or schisms in the body, meaning, you know, kind of divisions, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. Do you guys agree? I think so. Dear Brother Ackerman, in the hospital right now. He doesn't want to be there. But I'm praying for him. And I know what he's going through because I've been there. You know, not to the severity that he is. He's dealing with a lot. But I've been there. I have compassion for that. I've been there. I suffer with him. all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Amen. Okay, let's say somebody gets promoted in a high position at work, or they get called to the mission field, or whatever it might be, called a pastor, whatever it might be. Let's not think, well, then how did he deserve that? Yeah. Like, he from what I've seen, his work ethic, or like, he never's in church, he never talks about God, but he's getting a pat. What, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just be happy for one another, encourage one another. It's a good thing. Yeah. Amen, brother. There we go. Thank you, Patrick. And verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Yeah. Love it. Cornerstone Baptist Church, all together, helping each other out in difficult times and the good times too. Remember the good times. Cannot forget the good times, because God is good. Amen. And number three, consider the ways of God. Consider the ways of God. What has God done for you, Christian? He's done a lot, hasn't he? He's done a lot for me, even though all that I've been going through lately, he's still good. First and foremost, he's given us salvation, hasn't he? That's right. Amen. If you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, knowing that you will not spend eternity in hell for the rest of eternity, give him the glory and honor, and he can get you through the difficult time you're going through. But sometimes, isn't that hard? It's hard for me. I get it. When I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself, because it is hard. We go through something difficult and we say, Lord, I don't know if you can pull me out of this. I don't know if you can help me through this. If you have to get me through this, help me to get through it, right? But we kind of second guess that sometimes. I don't know if he will. Well, did he save your soul? Sure did. I did come to repentance. I came to the knowledge of my Savior Jesus Christ, where I'll spend eternity with him. I think he can help me get through the difficult little time that I'm going through. Right? There's been so many blessings upon us. Even our church family. I think I wrote it down here. Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Right? Amen. Even today. Amen. The snow is still kind of falling a little bit, but that's okay. It's kind of nice. I like a little bit of snow. And I like the cooler weather. But again, God made this day. God made tomorrow. Who's going to work tomorrow? Okay, there's quite a bit in here. Okay, guess what? God made tomorrow. God made Monday. Monday matters. Mondays are tough. Well, guess what? God made it, and he can get you through it. There's so many blessings. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll give you this word. Do we crave God's word and also prayer? Do we really crave it? Do we really seek it? Do we really in the morning go after what God has for us for that particular day? Do we? I will tell you right now, I have an opportunity to crave a little bit more. So here's an idea. How many of us seen that Crave cereal? It's a brand. It's called Crave. Yeah, Luke's like, yeah, see, there's, oh, see, now I know who likes that stuff. Anyways, grab yourself a box. Just put it somewhere and just say, crave. Yeah, I need to crave God's word, and I need to be craving God in prayer, right? Just seek after him. Crave it. The more you crave it, the more you want it, the more he'll bless you, the more he'll give you insight, the more he'll just, endless. God's word has so much, we can't even tap just the surface of it. I mean, pastor's still learning. I'm still learning. Brother George is still learning. Brother Stan, others that have been in the ministry are still learning. God, what's awesome about God's word is that you've read that a million times. You've read it over and over again through your Bible reading, and then that one time God speaks to you through that same scripture. You're like, wow, I never saw that before. Well, have you been reading it? Well, yes, but God just showed me something. Crave it. Letter B. This is awesome. But most importantly, he gave his life for you. Each and every one of you, he gave his life. More than 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth. He was faithful. He didn't sin. And he died on the cross for you and me. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. So I ask you today, well, that was great to hear that, you Christians have got to consider your way and we've got to do our part. And okay, I get that. And then, of course, in Haggai, just in verse 4, is it time for ye, all ye, dwell in your ceiling houses? And the temple, lie in waste? So, Christian, today I ask you, is there anything in your life that you're focused on this and you're doing your thing and church is back here? There's plenty of people that can handle it. Pastor's got this. Jason's got this. So, whatever, it's fine. I'm going to focus on this. Consider your way, Christian. Consider your way in knowing, well, Lord, you know what? I got to get back. And it can be basic, too. It can be basic. It can be the thing of just getting back, turning, and reading your Bible, praying, building upon that. Maybe that's what you're missing this morning. Is God calling you to minister more in the church? Well, I'm busy. I got the Super Bowl to watch tonight. I'm going to be too busy for that. I got to watch this. I got friends over. I got this huge spread of food. I'm not coming. Got to finish strong, folks. Got to finish strong. But for those that are here this morning, they may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today can be the day of salvation. So with that, I've asked if, let's see, Laura, are you playing? If you can come up and play the piano. And Pastor, if you want to come your way up, I want to read a few verses for everyone. But again, Christian, if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning and saying, yes, Lord, I have opportunity in an area of my life that I'm struggling in. And Christian, you might be struggling with the decision that you made years ago on your salvation. And you want reassurance. We can get that fixed. We can assure you of that. You're struggling with you can play the piano, Miss Laura, thank you. Struggling with being faithful, struggling with reading your Bible, struggling with being in prayer, struggling with just negativity in your life. The Lord can help you through it. Here's an altar. Just give it to God. Just pour your heart out to Him. He wants that. He wants to help you. But again, at the same time, you have to do your part. You got to give it to Him. And then for those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today can be the day of salvation. Every head bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to just read you some scripture this morning. And for those that may not know you, pay attention to these words, because this is coming from God's words and God's words only. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'll leave you with this. Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. If there is one soul today that gets saved, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity you bestowed upon me to bring a message to the folks in our dear church. Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts. Lord, work in my heart. I've got a lot of opportunity myself. I need to crave more your word and being in prayer and praying for those that serve in this church. And Lord, I pray for those that may not know you today. Pray that you, again, tug on their heart, Lord, that today can be the day of salvation. I'm ready. Pastor's ready. Men are here. Ladies are here. Ladies, if you need salvation as well, we're here to show you from God's word how you can be saved. Meditate on these verses that I just spoke on. And Lord, listen to what God has for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.
Attitude of prayer. Appreciate that message. Consider your ways. God led Haggai to preach that to the Jews who had put the building of the temple on hold. They hit the big pause button. They got distracted with things in their life. And the Lord no longer was priority number one. Now, we've all done that. And as we've heard today, if God's spoken to your heart, we're going to let the piano play through another stanza or two, but let's allow the Lord to speak to our hearts. And I'm exhorting you to just respond if God's speaking to you. We know we can talk to him right where we're at, and you certainly can there, but maybe it's an opportunity you just need to come up to the altar and just talk to the Lord about that. And if you're here today, as Brother Jason said about salvation, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never received him, you've never received that eternal life that he has promised to give each and every one of us, then there's somebody here that can show you from God's word how you can be saved. So let's just keep our heads bowed for just another stanza or so. God's spoken to your heart. I just encourage you to respond. And in just a moment, we'll all sing together.